Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are God's, little g. You are God's because you came from God.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
Why do people have such a fit about God calling his man little gods?
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods.
We have the potential and the capacity through a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to know God, but that does not mean we are God. The Bible is very clear. There is only one God, and he will not share his glory with another.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Please welcome a doo-wop sensation. This is Wretched Radio. How many Christian talk shows actually go about the business of finding a former doo-wop sensation? Well, at Wretched, we never stop trying to bring you the most cutting-edge content. Joining us today, doo-wop sensation Phil Johnson of Grace to You. Phil, what you must be a doo-wop sensation. That hair that is coming down in your it looks like Squiggly from Laverne and Shirley or whatever that guy's name was.
I know it. I'm sorry, and I can't control it. I've tried everything I can. I intend to go to the barber today and get it cut off.
You're like a 50s boy band member.
Yeah, sorry.
It's Frankie Valli, The Four Seasons, and Phil. You got all your hair, and as always, it's agitating because you don't dye those locks up there. You got your full head of hair back after. Did you have chemotherapy?
Well, yeah, I did. I had a stem cell transplant. They gave me chemo that killed the bone marrow and you know, sort of rebooted my blood.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, my hair fell out. So I was bald from January through June last year.
Yeah, but you know what? You pulled it off. I got to tell you, not every man can pull off bald, but you were able to do it.
Yeah, Darlene hated it. She said it made me look mean. So I kind of liked it too.
Well, you
it
get accused of that plenty anyway, so why not just press into it?
Okay, that's a good point.
All right, it sounds like you got the schmutz going on, Phil. You going to keep your lungs inside of your chest for us?
I don't think so. I probably will have a coughing fit or two while we talk.
It's a thing. Okay, I could be wrong about this. It just seems to me. Ever since 2020, we have seen strains of colds and flus that are just tenacious. They do not go away.
Yeah.
I think I had something starting about a month ago, and I still like cough a few times during the day going, what is this about? Why is this just hanging on? So you just might have that.
That's possible. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The thing that I learned at 2020 is that they're actually manipulating the viruses and stuff that give us diseases. So I didn't
want to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but that's exactly what I was trying to say. Yeah. It just seems that I never used to get a cold for like a month and a half. Phil Johnson, you're alive. You're well. And by the way, I'm going to have to assume you didn't hate your eulogy.
No, in fact, I enjoyed it. Every time I go to a funeral, I always think they should have said this about this guy while he was alive.
I agree.
And you did. So I appreciate that.
Except I think I got the Cubs and the White Sox goofed up.
That's okay.
Either one is kind of tragic, really, but one is particularly sad.
It didn't bother me. Darlene was the one that got mad about that. She's an avid Cubs fan.
Got it. Okay, there was another thing she said I goofed up on. But Phil, I took these stats from you. I can't recall now. How many, 47 years you've been married?
It's coming up on 47.
Phil. You know,
it'll be 47 in June.
Let me tell you what you need to do when you get home. You need to tell Darlene, don't bother listening to that interview I did with Friel, because you would be in such hot water. How can you not remember how many years you've been married?
Because it's gone so fast.
Nice save. But I think I also got the grandkids wrong, but I quoted the statistic from you. I asked you, how many grandkids do you have? And you told me, and Darlene said it was wrong.
Oh, well, it's seven.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
Seven grandkids.
You're sure about this?
I am absolutely positive.
All right. So being married for almost 50 years, having seven grandkids, we are thrilled to pieces that you are alive and well, and I will eulogize you all day, any day. Phil Johnson, to question or not to question, that is the question. And you say, why are you asking a question about questions? It's because we're being informed these days that we should ask and never be afraid to ask theological questions. Phil, do we always need to ask questions about theology?
We do need to ask questions about theology. That doesn't mean that every point of doctrine is on the table for discussion. That's what has confused evangelicals for at least 20 years, maybe longer. This was a big thing with the emerging church movement 20 years ago. They said, really, everything we believe should be put on the table and re-examined and rediscussed. And a lot of those people ultimately abandoned the faith because they couldn't really settle on anything as true. And after 2,000 years of church history, there is a core of doctrine that really doesn't need to be brought up and debated again and again and again.
All right. And so the encouragement / admonition to question, always ask questions, never be afraid to ask questions. You would say there are just some questions that simply don't need to be asked because they've already been settled long ago and consistently in every branch of Christianity.
Yeah. And to clarify, I'm saying people who are believers, people in the church, don't need to question every point of their doctrine. Every point that we believe, though, is going to be questioned by people who are unbelievers, and we need to be prepared to give an answer.
All right. So
in that sense, yeah.
Yeah, that, of course, and trying to understand things, asking questions in that regard. But when there are certain, and not everything, but there are certain things that we just, rather than asking the question, we simply need to go read what we've always believed on this subject. And those issues would include, I presume you would say, the essentials?
Precisely.
All right. Trinitarian theology, salvation by grace alone, faith alone, the natures of Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man. Those would be the essentials. What about the doctrine of hell? Do we need to be asking questions about it?
I don't think it should be questioned. There have been strains of skepticism about the eternality of divine judgment throughout church history. That has never been the mainstream view. Always the mainstream view has been that when Scripture says the smoke of their torment shall ascend forever, the church has believed that clearly is meant to indicate that divine judgment is eternal, that there is no end to the torment of those who have defied God.
So the church historically, would you say, I mean, if you had to pick a percentage, 50% have believed in ECT, 50% have believed in annihilationism. What has been the consensus regarding the doctrine of hell?
It's overwhelmingly, they believe that hell is eternal. I don't know a percentage, but I would say it's at least 80%, maybe higher than 90%.
Yeah, because there have always been groups that have held to a non-traditional position. But those, are you aware of any of those groups that would still be within the bullseye of mainstream evangelicalism?
No, in fact, historically, those who've questioned the eternality of hell have overwhelmingly been the cults. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that. Pretty much any cult you name has a segment of people who question the eternality of hell, or that's their official doctrine. They don't believe in it.
There have been some modern theologians. What about Clark Pinnock?
Yeah, and you know, John Stott was at the very best, he was agnostic on the issue. Most of the recent skepticism goes back to a single book called The Fire That Consumed by an author named Edwin Fudge, who goes into great detail sort of dismantling or deconstructing every passage of scripture that speaks about hell.
Mm-hmm.
And this to me is really the key point. In order to believe that there is an end to the suffering of those in hell, you have to explain away scripture. You have to tiptoe around what the Bible actually says. If you read it and just take it at face value, it seems very clear to me that scripture is, and specifically Jesus, is warning us that damnation of those who reject God is eternal.
I think it's an exegesis, eisegesis issue. You have to labor very hard to dismantle what I think is clearly stated. However, did you know that Mr. Fudge, because I do not believe he was ever ordained or theologically trained, he was a layperson, he was an attorney, but he was also a member of Church of Christ. Did you know that, Phil?
I did not know that. Maybe I knew that at one time.
But to the point, the people that have been proponents of this view historically, John Stott, you would put him well within side of orthodoxy, but the folks that have really been leading the charge on this historically, you got to take a look at their other theological credentials. To ask questions or not to ask question, that is the question which we will continue to answer with doo-wop sensation Phil Johnson next on Wretched Radio.
Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes. And there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at FortisPlus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. masters.edu/wretched.
So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first because your couch just got promoted. So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Well, join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting FortisInstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Bread of Life, Just as God gave life to his people in the desert by providing manna, so Jesus gives life to his people through his body broken on the cross, which we remember in the breaking of the bread in communion.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
To ask or not to ask, that is the question. This is Wretched Radio. Phil Johnson, grace to you, Grace Community Church, author and doo-wop sensation, joining us to discuss the questioning that we are experiencing these days regarding the doctrine of hell. Phil, when I initially asked you about asking questions and when we ask questions, you snuck in a little bit of a torpedo and you said something about the emergent movement, asking questions. The effort to encourage question asking about everything. Have you seen that as a bit of a trend? And if so, in what particular circles do you see it?
Well, I first noticed it 20 years ago or so with the emerging church movement. And it became a concern because when people would say that, you know, it's legitimate to ask questions. You ought to be able to ask questions. To a point, I agree with that. To a great extent, I agree with that. That's how we learn, by asking questions. But they seem to be suggesting that, all of us ought to be questioning pretty much everything, that there shouldn't be any doctrine that we are settled on or dogmatic about. And of course, that's really the postmodern view of truth. You can't be sure about anything. And so you should hold everything you believe with a very thin thread.
Yeah. See, I think most of us would, have just a great deal of clarity if somebody said, hey, just asking questions about the Trinity. Just asking the question about, are all sins forgiven because Jesus died on the cross on behalf of sinners? You'd go, hold on, time out. You don't need to ask questions on that. So why might we be receiving encouragement to ask questions about the doctrine of hell?
Well, there's two ways to ask questions. One is because you want to learn, and that's always legitimate. The other is because you're trying to either justify or foment skepticism, and that's never legitimate. And you get the impression that a lot of the questions that have come up recently about the doctrine of hell are designed specifically to foment skepticism, to tiptoe around, you know, what Scripture clearly says. On the one hand, I understand the questions, and nobody likes the doctrine of hell. None of us would celebrate that doctrine. And God himself says, I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked. So I'd be worried about someone who loves this doctrine and thinks, you know, this brings me great joy to study this. So I get it. And yet on the other hand, we have to go with what Jesus said. And Jesus himself had the harshest words about eternal punishment and the damnation of those who persist in their sin. He said harsher things than pretty much anybody else, certainly anybody else in Scripture. He said more about hell, and the things he said about hell were as frightening as,
nobody beats Jesus when it comes to describing hell. The one who really focused on it more than anybody else in the entire Bible.
Yeah.
And he's our Savior. So
exactly,
I think remembering the source is also helpful. Phil, do you think that the deconstruction movement has used the concept of just, hey, we question everything in order to encourage people to deconstruct?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is the heart of how you would even define postmodernism. Postmodernism is the notion that we really can't be too sure about anything. And my perspective on any question of truth is just as good as anybody else's perspective. So you should never hold to any truth very firmly.
We're being encouraged to have a conversation about the doctrine of hell. It's something that I think is related to the question asking. Has the church historically just had intra-Orthodox conversations about the doctrine of hell?
Only when the debate comes up. It's more of a debate than a conversation. And it's a question that comes around in a cyclical way. It comes up, it's answered, it, you know, goes to sleep for a few years or a couple of decades, and then it comes back again. This is, I think, the current discussion is at least the third wave that I remember in my lifetime of people aggressively arguing against the eternality of divine punishment.
All right, so it's not a conversation. Has it been deemed as intra-Orthodox? In other words, brothers that just sit down and share their thoughts on their understanding of hell?
Not on a widespread level, no. But there have been a handful of respectable Bible teachers who have indicated, you know, serious doubts about the eternality of divine punishment.
The only thing I can think of is John Stott.
Oh, well, Philip Edgecombe Hughes was another. He was a friend of Martin Lloyd-Jones. He went to South Africa, I think, to minister. And while there, he told all of his friends that he had come to the conclusion that hell can't be eternal.
Mm. But would we call him a major player?
He was a pretty significant
at the time.
Yeah.
All right. Because there's not a ton of guys that can be cited.
They're the exception. And it's odd. It seems to me most of the ones you can think of are British.
Yeah, see, I think framing this, that this discourse isn't just kind of an exchange of ideas, but it's a debate is important because it almost feels analogous to Protestant denominations that have, there's an issue broiling, and individuals who are opposed to the traditional view will say, let's just study it. Let's just take some time, open it up, and rethink it. And what I'm hearing you say, Phil, is we don't need to reopen this one. This one has been closed.
And that plea to let's just take some time and study it. That's a classic way of sort of tabling an important issue. You know, that's what certain voices in the evangelical movement did with the question of homosexuality and same-sex marriage and other things like that. Let's not take a dogmatic stance on it. Let's take some time and evaluate it, which means let's just shut up about this and not take a firm stance.
Yeah, and the role of women has always been the initial issue that has...
The doctrine of hell, I think, is in many ways more important than any of those things, because if it's true, as Jesus taught, and I think of, for example, the story of the rich man and Lazarus. Here's a man suffering consciously in hell and pleading that his brothers be warned that this, not to come to this place. And there's a sense in which that's the righteous attitude towards hell, that if we really believe it, it ought to motivate us to evangelism. And once you do away with the doctrine of hell, you sort of open the door to a very lazy and lackadaisical approach to Christianity and our duty to make disciples. And ultimately, it's the death of the church.
Yikes. All right, Phil.
Which won't happen because the gates of hell are not going to prevail.
But we are charged to defend the faith. And this, I think this is one of those moments where, we didn't bring up the issue. The issue has been brought up. But if we are going to ultimately defend the Bible, because this, as always, is a Bible issue, ultimately, how do we read this thing, interpret it? That we've got to be willing to say this is just not something that has ever been acceptable to the church. We don't need to have a conversation about it. It is settled dogma. And anything outside of the ECT view has historically been deemed, the Council of Constantinople in the 6th century said they anathematized this view. But we've always believed, I think in one voice, it was heterodox. Now, Phil, as best you can tell, because I know you do other things than just sit and scroll through the internet all day, what do you think the tone has been like within this conversation so far?
I haven't followed it closely, so it's hard to say. I was reading some things this morning, though, and it seems like the fact that the question came up at all has brought a number of skeptics out of the woodwork. And so you're hearing more and more people say, there are good arguments not to believe in the eternality of divine punishment.
Yeah, I think obviously we don't want to be snarky. We don't want to be nasty. There's no reason or there's just no necessity in being mean online. Having said that, I don't think that we need to not say anything in opposition to the conditionalist view, because that is deemed as not being nice, or it's not being brotherly, or not being kind. This is one of those issues. Yep, we are going to be, if you will, nice. We're going to be loving. But on this issue, we simply must speak the truth in love and affirm what the church has always stated in alignment with the Bible, that hell is eternal conscious torment. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.